students of mine. One's a former boss. So, So Ailey obviously is my daughter, and she's just, I love performing with her because she's just got so much talent. She sings really well. She can just kind of naturally sing harmony. She can play the bass. She can play other instruments, and she can do them at the same time as singing. So just, and I just love, it's just such a privilege to be able to perform with your own kind of kids and in your own family. So,
all at the same time, like Xavier Rudd style?
No. Okay. No, she can't play them all at the same time.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
No.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. That would be cool, though. And then, so she... Lara Noyes also performs with her. She's one of Ailey's good friends at school, but she's also one of my students, and she has this amazing kind of mellow voice, which she's going to be going places as well, like big time, in the future. So, I mean, she's a multi-instrumentalist. She plays saxophone, just crazy saxophone.
That's a tough instrument.
Yeah, yeah. She plays keyboard, she plays guitar, she does vocals. So she's, yeah, an amazing instrumentalist. So really wanted to be able to get her there. And she's actually on the recordings as well. And then I've got my nephew, who we weren't going to have a drummer at first. And then we kind of asked him, it'd be just nice to have a couple of more upbeat songs. I don't have many upbeat songs, but being kind of mellow folk music. But I really did want to have some percussion in there. So I just kind of got him originally for the gig that we did out at Buller Creek Brewery. Originally, he was just sitting on a cajon, a box drum that you kind of sit on and hit with your hands. And then it just so happened that on the gig last weekend at Vinalong, the cajon wasn't working properly. It has a plug-in DI and it wasn't working. So there was a drum kit there. So let's just chuck you on the drum kit. And so he hasn't played drum kit for about 3 years.
How'd he go?
It went really good. Yeah. He's a natural musician. He's really good. He needs to play more. So,
okay.
So got him. So, yeah, got 3 17-year-olds in the band. And then...
Wow.
One of my students, Nathan, so he... I've been teaching him guitar for a little while, and he was just such a massive encouragement. Like, during the whole process of recording, I nearly stopped recording a few times, and he's just like, how's it going? Send me some tracks. I want to hear it. He's like, oh, I love this song so much. And so he actually kind of basically drove me to keep on doing it, and I wanted to kind of get him up there to play a bit, you know, as well. So I got him to jump on with guitar, and then Jimmy... lives just down the road from me. He's actually an amazing guitarist, really amazing, incredible guitarist. I don't think I've kind of utilized that as much as we could just yet. But, he jumped on guitar and the Irish bouzouki as well there last weekend, which is a cool instrument. And,
Was he one of the guys in the band last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he was the one with the... Penrith shorts and shoes on. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was great. He had a massive bike accident a few weeks ago. Came off his bike road race, and basically he took out all his front teeth. His hands were just completely peeled off, and had no skin on his fingers and stuff. So
he still got up and played. That's showmanship.
Yep. Yep. He was concussed. Still suffering from concussion.
There's a lot of musical talent in Young.
Oh, yeah.
I think it outweighs the support. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, look. There is. And, like, Young has produced some exceptional musicians. And there are people around here who are still writing and recording music even. Most of them obviously move on. They move out of town. But, you know, there's so many people. I would love to have an event where we just showcased local musicians. Like original musicians, I mean. Like local original musicians who could get up and showcase their own material, or, you know, somehow promote that on community radio, like kind of thing. Yeah. Like a local music hour, you know. Like to actually support people who are creating music locally in a regional area, to have so many people producing so much kind of good content, much good music. There's such an opportunity for us to actually somehow showcase and support that more, definitely.
So there's a lot of talent that could do that in Young?
Absolutely, yeah.
Would it be like Tamworth?
I mean, as far as the genre, like country music.
As far as like the amount of people. So I grew up in Newcastle in the 70s and 80s, and it catered for live music. So they actually took out the poker machines to put stages in,
right?
To encourage live music, and so you could see bands and bands and bands.
Yeah,
and it's kept that going in a lot of the places. There's a few places that that don't have that anymore, that have brought the poker machines back, and they don't have the live music, but it's still quite rampant in Newcastle. So,
yeah.
Now, another thing, I was on the Gold Coast. I was on the Gold Coast a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the local community radio there had DJs all playing against one another.
Right.
So you could compete for that hour of playing DJs.
Oh, nice.
And the tricks that they were doing were phenomenal. I was just listening to it the whole time I was up there and learning a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Along the way. And
you would definitely have more of an appreciation for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they're that good that the community radio streams into a few of the clubs on the Gold Coast.
Right.
And so you can be listening to the community radio and then go, I really want to go dance to that music. And then it will tell you where it's being played through. And then you go there and...
That is so clever. And that's innovative, you know? Like, that's locals supporting other locals.
Yeah.
And actually promoting that kind of scene within their town, like, or within that, you know, with the whole Gold Coast. But
yeah,
we have the potential to do something like that around here, I think, and it's just how we're going to tap into it.
I would definitely love to see more live music locally. Now that we've started channeling, I want to see more.
Yeah. Chocolate Starfish.
Yeah, that was great.
Started it all.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to hear a song, or and then you're going to sing for us again, if you don't mind.
Sure, yeah, for sure.
Miss Donna, would you like to sing for us?
No, definitely not.
Okay, that's well, then we'll get Mark to do it again. I just feel like all the pressure's being put on him.
That's because he's got the talent.
Because he's got the guitar in his hand. Okay, I got it. Okay.
It's a ukulele.
It's okay.
just talking about then?
Transporting thing.
Roadies, transporting music, stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. So, Mark Corkery.
Yes.
Would you mind playing another song for us? Do you know what you're going to play us?
Sorry?
Do you know what you're going to play us? You want to give us a bit of background? Because I like that mountain story before was awesome.
Yeah, thank you. So that this is a song called This Transient Kind of Glory. So this is actually off my first EP that I put out. I recorded with, you would know Dr. Edwin Khan from In Town.
Yeah.
So he actually has a recording studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, amongst everything else. And so I recorded with him back just as COVID hit. We were recording in late 2019, ready to kind of put it out in 2020.
Sure.
And then COVID hit us 2020, delayed things. He obviously is a doctor, became very, very busy.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, he's a very talented guy and he helped us record this first EP. So this is a song off that called Transient Kind of Glory. It actually comes from a story of the first line says, "Lord, I'm sick of dying." And basically that line came, this is pretty somber, but I was talking to my folks one day who had been talking to my uncle who was at that time was currently in isolation after undergoing a bone marrow transplant for a very rare kind of form of cancer. I can't quite remember what it is, but he was basically on his last legs, and he had just said to them, I'm sick of dying, like this has been dragging on for so long. And that gets me into the thinking of that. That's one of those inspiration moments where as I kind of thought about that, I was just kind of like, well, it's that whole thing, everyone's going to die, but do you ever really live, or whatever that kind of quote is, so
sure.
It's this balance of tension of life and death all the time that we kind of go, what are you living for? And are you just kind of slowly dying, or are you doing more with your time, I suppose? So
So is are you leaving behind any fuel in the tank, I think is the
that's it.
Is the difference between a life or a mere existence?
Sure.
Yes, that's it. Absolutely.
And this is a song about that.
Yeah, and the tension of how we get caught in between, kind of thing. And so
responsibility.
Yeah,
okay.
So anyway, I'll just drop this mic down a bit.
Sure. And
here we go. Sick of dying, feel a little more each day. You can't say I've not been trying. Still, this flesh it eats away, and I've given up on crying. My soul is dry and parched. To myself I've now stopped lying. Just one question I must ask: is there really living water? Another light when all goes dark, when the final breath is taken, through to nothingness will I pass. You promised joy beyond the shadow. Valleys I must tread, but can you promise that these trails I walk will
really find you in the end. Oh, for I've been sold the idea, oh, that all I want's before me, and I can have it if I take it. Oh, this transient kind of glory, but I got one foot in the shadow, oh, one in radiant light, and I cannot seem to move these feet to the left or to the right. Yeah, I'm still half in the shadow, and I'm half in radiant splendor, and I cannot seem to take one single step, one direction or the other. Oh, is there really a spring of light, so I can stoop and cup my hands, oh, sip the sweet and then forget all the stains that mar these hands. Ooh. Ooh. I've seen another kind of die, where I give it all away, though the flesh may loose from off these bones, stolen spirit will soar away.
Mark, how do you sing those songs without breaking down?
Yeah, I just have to detach from them a little bit, because some people, when you get really emotionally into a song, it actually makes your voice better, whereas I get into that space and I just completely seize up.
Yeah, right.
So I can't sing at all when I get overly emotional. It's happened to me a number of times where I just can't get the words out. So basically, yeah, it's not that I could detach from the meaning, but I'm slowly learning to be able to keep my voice intact and still kind of feel the resonance of the emotions of the song.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. But okay. Yeah, certainly, yeah. I know. All right. My music is very overtly emotional.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's interesting that like what you were saying before, like when you're feeling down and you go write music, and when you're feeling happy, you go and hang out with your family. I think that's very sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just now that your family's musicians as well, do you think maybe you could start singing, writing some happy songs with them?
Well, I'm one of my big goals is to try and write some happier songs and be able to kind of touch in with that, you know, positive emotional kind of side of things. It's because music's such an expression, like, you know, mm. Like for someone like me, I'm actually really bad at expressing my emotions. Like,
okay.
I'm terrible at it. Like in relationships, I just find it very hard to express myself emotionally. And so for music, I need some outlet to do it, kind of thing.
Sure.
And so music is one of those ways where I kind of tap into that and can express my emotions without just keeping everything bottled up, which I just know is unhealthy. So,
do you think a lot of musicians are like that? They're introvert. They spend a lot of time by themselves in a room, so they get good at doing something.
I think, yeah, artistic people generally, I think, tend to weigh more on the introverted side. And yeah, definitely emotional people. Which can make them divas as too, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But I've encountered plenty of those. But, yeah, it's definitely, I think, artistic people. Like, I love that analogy of how you charge your batteries. Like, extroverts and social people, they charge their batteries by being around other people.
Yes.
Kind of thing. And I like spending time with people, but I have a very low tolerance for social, a threshold for social kind of encounters.
Sure.
And after a couple of hours, my battery is well and truly drained. And it's only by going away and reflecting quietly by myself that those batteries actually charge again.
Sure.
So it's amazing how different people operate and how that works. But I think that most of the artists, at least that I know, are people who charge their batteries by going away by themselves and kind of making music and or making whatever art they create kind of thing, and that's actually that actually helps them to recharge.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay, so I have a song for you. I want your opinion on.
Yeah.
It's Your Woman by Whitetown.
Right.
So this is a guy that spent a lot of time in his room writing songs. I recorded all this by himself. So all the instruments and everything that you hear is just him playing different covers, different tracks, and he wrote the song about a woman, couldn't find a woman to sing it for him, so sung it himself as a woman.
Wow.
So here, I'd like your opinion on this.
Yeah.
Right. Mike Corkery, we're going to play the What's That Song again.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Style of music, what do you think that was?
Well, I feel like that would fit into the electro swing style or your acid jazz.
Well, okay, well, it could have been acid jazz, but it was electro swing.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I guess I'm going to take that as 3 for 3.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, great. That's very gracious of you.
So, how many EPs have you put out?
Just the two. So, the first one was that one I was talking about, recorded here in Young and with Edwin and his friend Ben, and then the second one, which I decided to self-produce and basically do everything on because I'm a bit of a control freak.
And you have a whole music conservatorium to do this in?
Well, I did it in my study at home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the last EP I actually recorded all at home. I kind of made a YouTube channel about it just to basically trying to keep myself on track because I'm notorious for starting things and not finishing them.
Sure.
So yeah. I wanted some accountability, and by putting stuff out in a public space on YouTube, I was just like, this will make sure that I kind of get it done, and it did. So it took me a year, which is a long time for 5 songs, but I basically did all the recording, or most of it. I did one day over in a little studio in Orange to record a few tracks, a few guitar tracks, but everything else I did, and then learnt how to edit and and produce and then master and that kind of thing myself. So
what software did you use to do all that?
Pro Tools.
Yeah, wow, well, okay. My door. Went to the top, radio.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I use Pro Tools, yeah. I've been using that for since university, so...
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Most people probably have no idea what Pro Tools is, but, yes, yeah, it's
most people can't afford Pro Tools, that's why, especially musicians.
I get an educational discount as a teacher.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that was a real experience, and it was a lot of fun. It was frustrating as all hell for everyone in my family because they got to hear the same little sections of every song over and over on repeat for weeks on end sometimes.
Yeah, right.
As I was trying to, you know, work out how to use mixing concepts and that kind of thing. And so, sure. Yeah.
So it became like a Chinese water torture for them.
Yeah, 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 basically. Yeah, all right. That's right. Yeah. I'm surprised they can still ever listen to any of these songs, really. But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's hear some more music, and then we're coming nowhere near the end, so let's hear some more music. think you have something special for us, Mark Corkery.
Well, yes. Some may say that. That's one way to say it.
Okay.
But this is a song that my family will certainly appreciate me playing because this is one of the first songs I ever wrote. Not the first song, but this is one of the first songs I wrote when I was probably about 17 or 18 years old, and it's called 5 AM. And my kids have been asking me to record this song for a long time because it's a bit more upbeat.
Sure.
So this, I'll see if I can remember how it goes. I was just trying to strum through it just a second ago to see if I can remember it.
All right, do you want me to play one more song?
I think I've got it.
You got it?
I reckon I got it. Yeah. So this is going to be 5 a.m. All right, so here we go. Oh, I was going to move this down. Sorry.
Okay, ready? After three. And go.
There's no counting involved there.
Yeah, sorry. 1, 2, 3. All right, you go.
He called me at 5 a.m. He asked me if I'd like to dance. I said, no, sir, it's too early. Who are you anyway? He said, everybody's sleeping. The world is mine, cause I'm not yawning. The stage is all but empty. And now's my chance to be myself again. I rose up, I shook his hand. His name was John. He used to be in a rock and roll band or something. But now he comes alive when everybody's sleeping. The world is his cause he's now yawning. The stage is all but empty. And now's his chance to be himself again. Everybody's sleeping. The names of the stars, he danced and clicked his fingers. I asked him, are you a vampire? He laughed aside, then he looked at the skies and said, everybody's sleeping. The world is mine, cause I'm not yawning. The stage is all but empty. And now's my chance to be myself again. Everybody's sleeping. But I'll be here to see the dawning. Tomorrow I'll be dreaming about the way the world looks best if 5 a.m. Whoa, whoa, the world looks best at 5 a.m. Whoa, whoa, the world looks best at 5 a.m. Now, 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 the world looks best at 5 a.m. The world looks best at 5 a.m.
17-year-old, that.
Yeah, I think so. I think I was about 17.
That's
yeah.
wild. That's yeah. a talent.
I wrote some pretty upbeat songs back then. I don't know what happened in life to...
Well, you got family. You got a family to express your
yeah,
happiness
right.
to.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I found a new outlet.
Do you have... That's really good.
Yeah.
Do you have any more songs like that from back then?
I probably would. Most of them I don't really remember as much anymore, but I probably do have a few songs which are like that from back in the day. I know I have a song about killer bees.
who was your influences back then? Oh, you're right.
Oh, sorry, yeah, my chair.
This today, it's just everything's breaking today.
Right. My influences back then?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I used to love a band called They Might Be Giants back in the day.
Yeah,
back in
wow.
the 90s.
Okay.
So that was, yeah, so I really liked their song, like Dr. Worm and that kind of thing. Like, they were pretty bit different, but yeah. quirky kind of things. And Weezer, love the band Weezer from the 90s. So
yeah, what about Whitlams? And
oh, yeah, I used to listen to a lot of Whitlams, yeah. Yeah, I think that I liked the kind of quirky stuff for a little while.
Yeah, okay.
And then, yeah, but I got it, like, 90s were full of, it was a real, convoluted, eclectic kind of mix of Nirvana and Soundgarden mixed with They Might Be Giants and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Weezer and those kind of bands. I still love, I listen to Weezer these days and I just get massive feelings of nostalgia from that kind of period of life. It was they were such good bands in the 90s.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's cool is that people, like the kids these days, are right back into 90s rock again.
Yeah.
So I teach at guitar, and the kids want to learn Foo Fighters and Green Day and Nirvana and kind of all these big bands from the 90s, like the big grunge movement, Pearl Jam even to an extent. Like kids want to learn that stuff again. I'm just like, can teach that all day, baby. Like, that's my jam.
Yeah, cool. Okay. So why is that? Do you think it's because music is changing? Do you think it's because it took them so long to write a song, and these days, you know, you can pump one out a week and it only goes for a couple of minutes?
Yeah. Oh, the craft was certainly different. Like, where that was the age of mega bands back then too. Like, we had,
the 90s, everything peaked in the 90s.
And those bands still tour, you know, like, all of those bands, basically.
Like Chocolate Starfish.
Yeah, like Chocolate Starfish, if too young. I think most of those other bands are doing slightly bigger circuits than the Young Circuit, the Hilltop Circuit, but, yeah, it was a different craft back then, I think, like that. And that, for some reason, that kind of angsty kind of grunge music just resonates well with teenagers again.
Yeah,
right,
okay.
Now, so
yeah.
Gen Z.
Sure.
It's cool though. Like, it's great music. There is.
Radio, you tell me what you think of this one.
All right.
So this style of music came from back in the 80s and 90s when people started mixing music using records. So when DJing really started to kick off.
It was real.
Yeah. When it took, a lot more
using
talent
actual
than
actual vinyls.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then getting making sure the tempo was right and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of musicians couldn't afford records. So they'd go to secondhand places. People would give them stuff and, you know, Christmas specials, whatever, and all that sort of stuff. And so they would learn how to mix that into something that people would dance to.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. So that's where we get our electro swing from.
Okay.
Electronic blues and acid
jazz. Right. From these all of out of copyright kind of
absolutely
albums kind of thing from
Yeah, absolutely. Stuff that people would never really listen to back in the day.
Yeah.
Which is why there's a lot of scratching in it.
Yeah.
Why there's a lot of mixing. There's like, you'll get two different genres mixed over the top of one another, and you'll use the music from one and lyrics from another.
Yeah.
And you know, and make a dance song out of that. That's where it all came from.
Mm, that's amazing. So I actually, so for those listening, recently Evan showed me his DJing rig that he has, and it just gave me a whole new appreciation for what goes into actual DJing. It's a lot more complex, and it's a lot more of a craft than you think it actually is, because there are so many things that go into just lining up songs and tempos and all those kind of things, keys even, and stuff like that, to make songs kind of work magically together. It is not easy whatsoever. I had to play with it, and I was completely lost. But, yeah, it's really cool.
Thank you. Thank you for recognizing that, because I just tell people I press play.
Yeah.
That's my gift.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot more to it than that.
Unreal. Okay, well, Mark Corkery, thank you very much. We're coming close to the end of the show. How do people find you?
Yeah, so, I mean, my music is available on all streaming services. So, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Google, I'm sure they have some sort of music thing. I think when I released it, it went out to like something like 37 different streaming platforms.
Yeah, wow. Okay, cool.
So wherever you want it, it's out there. But also Bandcamp, never give up Bandcamp. So streaming really does produce little to no income for musicians, unless they're into earning millions and millions of streams.
Yeah.
Until you actually start to earn some money out of it. So do consider buying artist music on Bandcamp, and you can actually pay more money for it there. And if you pay $5 for an album on Bandcamp, it's going to be more than the artist is probably going to make out of, you know, 6 months worth of for an artist like myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, do consider buying music from Bandcamp, and then just stream it anyway off your whatever platform you use, whatever service you use. But yeah, I'm on, just look up Mark Corkery on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, YouTube Music. Otherwise, I'm also on Instagram, just Mark Corkery, I think is my name on there, and Facebook, Mark Corkery Music. So I'm
Mark
on
Corkery
all
Music?
Mark
yeah.
Corkery Music
yes,
on
is.
There as well. Yeah. So yeah, that's where you'll find my stuff.
Fantastic. Thank you for making this show fantastic for me.
It's fun.
Miss Donna, thank you for showing up.
Yeah, thanks,
and
Donna.
Yet again. And let's hear some, I don't know, let's hear some music. I don't even know what I'm playing.
Okay.
Okay.
Just hit the magic play button.
Just hit the play button.
Do what you do.
See, watch me hit play, and you'll see.
This is it.
There's a lot more technique behind it than just...
ain't got no